Ephesians chapter 3, if you would turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We prayed that the Lord would lead us in the right direction. And the sermon that He laid on my heart for Sunday night, He kept impressing with me on that for this evening. A lot of things that Bub said on Sunday night deals with what I'm going to deal with tonight. A few Mother's Day evening, Calvin Ray asked me to preach, and I preached on the love of God, specifically with a mother's love. And we're going to continue with that thought tonight on the love of God, but we're going to preach on the measure of love. The measure of love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I believe we've already expressed tonight. The Bible tells us the peace that passeth all understanding. And here it's telling us about love that passeth knowledge. When things are unexplainable, all we can say is the love of God. The love of God. But the measure of love. Paul is in writing to this great city of Ephesus. And in that city was built a great building. In fact, one of the original ancient wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana. We know that Diana was the goddess of love. And so the Church of Ephesus and the Ephesians, they thought they knew what love was all about. In fact, they worshipped love. And Paul was wanting to try to explain to them exactly what real love was about. The Temple of Diane had measurements of 425 feet by 220 feet. It's a pretty big temple. 127 pillars, each of them were 60 feet high. Each pillar weighed 150 tons, all made of marble. Almost 100,000 square feet could hold over 10,000 people, but probably most evangelists would say about 100,000. But that's just the way we... That's a joke. You can laugh. It's Wednesday night. You can laugh. Most evangelists tell good fish stories. Every time the service is, there's a bigger crowd and it's, you know, a bigger place. But this building, 100,000 square feet, hold over 10,000 people. One of the original seven ancient wonders of the world. So they had this symbol of love there right in front of them that they saw almost each and every day. But Paul was trying to remind them, getting them to realize the real measure of the love of God. Let's look at the breadth of love. How wide and where does the love of God reach? Well, it reaches wherever He finds faith. That's where it reaches. We can turn to Luke chapter 7 and find the story of a centurion. He had a servant who was sick. And he came to Jesus Christ. Now, he was out of the reach of the law, and in fact, his servant was even farther out. He was an enemy by blood. He was an enemy to those, to the Jews. But he had befriended the people of Capernaum because he had built a temple for them. He had built a synagogue. And so he had befriended the people, but he was still an enemy to the Jews. A Roman centurion. He came to Jesus, asking that his servant be healed. And we know he considered himself unworthy. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, because of your unworthiness and because of you coming to me and because of your faith, not only will I heal him, but I'll even come to your house and do it. So Jesus was kind of going out of the way because of faith. But the servants, the centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. I know how much power you have. All you have to do is just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who saw people every day of His life and healed people every day of His life, turned around to His closest followers and told them that He did not find so great a faith No, not in Israel. A Roman centurion, a Gentile, had more faith than those who followed him closely. And that just shows us tonight how wide that God's love can reach. Wherever He finds faith, that is the prerequisite for you to get the love of Jesus Christ. Because without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. And anybody that was healed, anybody that ever accepted the love of God, had to have one thing, and that was faith. And tonight, if you're in a way and you need help, you need healing, or you need salvation, you only have that and you only receive that by one thing, is having faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that shows us how wide the breadth of His love. Now let's notice the length of His love. How long does He love us? He loves us as long as He hears a cry for help. Let's look at the thief on the cross. The thief had one advantage. And that advantage was he knew he only had a few hours to live. And see, that's an advantage for some people. Sometimes knowing when you're going to die, although most of us don't know that. It's almost impossible for us to know when we're... But this man knew that he was going to die in just a few hours because the Sabbath was coming. Usually took about 3 days, but the Sabbath was coming and he was going to die. They was going to break his legs and he was going to die. So the advantage was that he knew he was going to die. But the disadvantage is, will the love of God extend to those who had forsaken Him and had waited so long? Aren't you thankful that even though he was there about ready to die, even though he had rejected probably through his whole life the Messiah, Jesus Christ looked at him and said, whenever you get, you'll inherit paradise with me today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now that's love. When someone who has waited all the way down to the day they die accepts Christ as their personal Savior, He still brings them in, no matter how long they've rejected Him, no matter how old they are, He says, welcome in, thou good and faithful servant. And I think about even though today I went and saw Roy Stember's friend who we talked about earlier. I saw him before. I went to church and my heart went out to him and he cried. I left him crying today. I said, we love you, Royce, but more importantly than that, God loves you and He wants to save you and He can heal your body, but more importantly than that, He can heal your heart. And he says, I know. And he cried. And probably the things that are going through his mind and the things that the devil is putting through his mind, you've waited so long. You've waited so long, but I just want to have a show of hands tonight. How many of you were over the age of 60 that found God? Is there anyone here over the age of 60? Would there be 170? Over 70 before they found God? So we have over 60 tonight. There's Bob back there. How old was you, Bob, whenever you were saved? 80. 80. You all remember that day when Bob got saved? I wasn't here, but I've heard about it many, many times. And the number one thing that the devil probably put in Bob's mind, and your mind too, if you've waited long on God, what's the use? You've rejected Him so long. You've waited so long, but aren't you thankful, Bob, that God loves you no matter how long you've waited? Hallelujah. And as long as He hears a cry for help, He will answer. Hallelujah. Thank God. I think of the ones we just heard about this past weekend. Patty Miller, who June Miller's daughter, we've been praying for a long time. My grandma's been praying for a long time. And then a friend of ours that got saved at Northmoreland, been praying for her ever since I was a little kid. And I've got many friends and loved ones that I've prayed for and prayed for. They'll never get saved. And all of a sudden, you get a phone call. Hey, I got saved. And you know what happens? It's never the way you thought it would happen. That just shows us how powerful God is. When I got the call that Ron Harris got saved, my eyes were bugging out. I said, there ain't no way he got saved. No way. And he went up to hear a big time preacher preach and got a big old church and he went up and I thought no one could get saved at those things. Just a bunch of energy. And that's what I think. And so when I heard that he got saved up there and his sister too the same night, I thought, that ain't the way it's supposed to happen. He's supposed to come to Jubilee, and he's supposed to come down the altar, and we're all supposed to be there, and everybody's supposed to run and shout.
But it didn't happen that way. That's how wonderful the love of God is. Whenever he hears a cry for help, he says, okay, I'll answer. Hallelujah.
And Ron, how old is Ron? He's up 70s? Late 60s, early 70s? A new baby. New baby. 65? I'm sorry. Yeah. He's going to get mad at me when he hears this tape. Sorry, Ron, if you hear it. How long does he love us? He loves us whenever he hears a cry for help. How deep does he love us? He loves us wherever he sees a hand reaching up. You go over to John chapter 4, a beautiful story of a woman that was as far down as you can get. She even went to the well at different times than other ladies went. Because even her own kind didn't like her. I mean, she was a Samaritan, so Jews hated her. Samaritans were half-breeds. And not only did the Jews hate her, but her own people hated her. As far down as you can get. But on his way to another town, Jesus stopped and said, I must needs go to Samaria. And his disciples, we don't go there. We don't go there. That's not our kind. But see, Jesus knew what was going to happen. And even though it was one woman, he went to the right woman.
Amen.
And he went to her. She was a tramp in the community's eyes. She was a sinner in all of ours' eyes. The well of sin that she had made for her life was deep. But thank God his hand reached as far down, a lot deeper than that well. You know, in the true essence of the old saying, she had to look up to touch bottom. But whenever God sees a hand reaching up, he will reach down. And you know what I thought about this coming to church tonight? We always talk about how deep in the hole we were. But you know, everyone had to get there. Every one of us had to get to that same point. We all had to hit bottom before Jesus can save us. Because when we hit bottom, that means we're humble. That means we realize we need help. And sometimes God has to get us down before he can pick us back up. And many of you were like that. He'd give her something he had never given before. He admitted he was the Messiah. He didn't have a bucket. He didn't have a rope. He didn't have a cup. But his love reached to the bottom of humanity and pulled her out of the well. And many of you were in the same spot. The old song says, once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and I was wretched and vile as could be, but the Savior in love gave me peace from above. What? When he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or a son, but he reached down his hand for me. And Janet sang the song Sunday night. The love of God is greater far than gold or silver ever could afford. It reaches past the highest star and covers all the world. Its power is eternal. Its glory is supernal. And when all this world shall pass away, there'll always be the love of God. I want to show you something else about how deep His love is. It reaches out to those who call upon Him in their times of need. Now Sunday morning after church, we had a great service, and then we went down to Sunday school, and we had another great service down in Sunday school class. And Tim was teaching on he kept catching himself. But we got a kick out of that. But He was teaching us the miracles. He's been teaching a study on the series of the miracles of Christ. And he got to the 10 lepers. And he said that there were 10 of them gathered together. And we know the one that was here, that came back was a Samaritan. And there was others there. So we know there was Jews. It was a mixed company. Jews and Samaritans alike. And the Bible says they all cry for Jesus because they was afar off. And what Tim showed us, and I never saw before, I'm glad he studied on this because it sure has blessed me throughout the week. He said, when you have leprosy, it weakens your voice. It dries your throat out to nothing but a whisper and nothing but a screech. So he said that's why 10 of them had to get together in order to get one voice just loud enough to call upon God. And so they cried for Jesus. And Jesus saw them afar off, the Bible said. And he says, go show yourself to the priest, which was the Levitical law. They had to show themselves to the priest in order to be cleansed. So as the Bible says, as they were going, they were cleansed. Even before they got to the priest, they were healed. And then the one looked down and saw that he was cleansed and turned around and went back. Now what some other ones brought out there in the Sunday school class that morning was this. He was a Samaritan. He had no need to go to the tabernacle. He wasn't allowed there. But the Bible says, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, he didn't show himself to the priest. Oh, yes, he did. Because when he went back and turned around, he fell at the feet of Jesus, who was the great high priest at the order of Melchizedek. And he knelt down and thanked Jesus for what he had done. And when he was on his way back, the Bible says, and this is what blessed him and blessed me too, he said he cried with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice. I bet his voice after he was healed was stronger than the 10 put together. And he came back and fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him for the love and compassion that Jesus had upon him. And I got to thinking about that, and God impressed upon me while we was talking there. He said, turn back to the beginning of the chapter. And I read the beginning of the chapter, and it said, Jesus went through Samaria to Galilee and came to a certain village where the lepers were. And the Lord impressed upon me. He said, Brian, not only was he turning around and going back to thank Jesus, but he was turning around to go back home. Jesus that came through Samaria, and the Samaritan turned around and went back. And I thought, man, it'd be a great sermon title. I just stopped by on my way home. You know, every now and then God does great things for us. And you realize this is not our permanent dwelling place. We're just passing through. And I want to tell the Lord tonight, I just stopped by on my way home to tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate you healing my body, how much I appreciate you saving me. And it would do us good every now and then to be like the one that went back and thanked him and say, Lord, I just stopped by on my way home to tell you that I love you. Hallelujah. And reaching down for me. Good teaching. Good teaching. So we notice the breadth, the length, the depth. Let's notice the height. How high can His love go? His love can go as high to whomever seeks His face. Nicodemus was a ruler, the upper echelon. Probably a Jew whose family was from Greece. Pharisee. He was educated. He was rich. He was of high political rank, a very high social and religious position. Most people would say he had everything he needed for this world and even the next. But he realized something was missing. He needed a Savior. His curiosity brought him to the giver of eternal life at night. He had been born into this position of royalty, to this position of religious judicial and pharisaical law. But he realized he needed to be born into another family. A greater family than the educational process and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He knew he had to be born into the family of God. So he came to him and he asked him questions. And Jesus' answer, verily, verily, I say unto thee, marvel not that I said that you must be born again. And he said, how can I be born? How can I go back in my mother's womb? And Jesus explained to him, it wasn't the fact of you having to re-enter your mother's womb and be born physically, but it was a spiritual rebirth that had to happen. And then he finished up his statement by saying to him that for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I appreciate what we do to go to the down and out. and make sure that they're saved, and they need a Savior. They do. They need a Savior. But may we never forget not only the down and out, but the high and in. There's people that are in professional positions. They're doctors. They're lawyers. And we look at them and say they can't be touched because of their wealth, because of their status. But do you realize they need a Savior too? They need a Savior. And I know Calray has had many conversations with professional people on that level. In fact, I still think that doctor that he talked to a while back still runs away from him every time he sees him. But you know what? That doctor can never say, "No one ever told me about Jesus." And you know what? Sometimes I know we're hesitant to tell people, especially our doctors, whenever God does something for us. Don't ever be ashamed, because they need a Savior too. See, what the Bible says in Corinthians is that God uses the foolishness of the cross. Because professional people and sometimes people with higher positions look at us and think we're crazy. Why would we serve someone that all these bad things happen to us? And we would look at them and say, yeah, our life's not a bed of roses, but we have one that loves us. That gives us what we've been talking about tonight. Peace that passeth all understanding. And that can't come from a diploma on the wall or $1 million in the bank account or a home on the high hills of Portsmouth there. No, none of that love can come from that. The love that can come in that way is only can come from Jesus Christ. Can only come from Him. And His love is still reaching out to you. So what do we have to do? We have to believe it. We have to cry for it. We have to reach out for it. And we have to seek it. And Paul said that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I read this the other night, but I want to finish up again by reading the final text. How far will God's love go? I'll tell you how far it goes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love really is immeasurable. As low as you are, it can go there. The farther you're away from God, it can go there. No matter how high up in the world you think you are, it can still save you. I'm thankful today that God loves me. He loved me in that while I was yet a sinner, and He died for me. And today, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, we never want to fail when we're up here preaching to tell you God loves you. No matter what you've done, amen. I know you do. I love Him too. We never want to fail to thank Him every day and tell Him that we love Him. I try every day in my life, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day, to make sure I tell my wife that I love her. And some of you are looking at each other. Maybe you don't do that. I hope you do. But before I leave, before I get off the phone, I always say, I love you. I love her. And you know, sometimes we can say it over and over and over again. And we think, will it ever get old to tell somebody we love them? Never does. Because I love her with all my heart. And you know what? It never gets old. I don't know how many times I've driven down the road and in my car and just praying to the Lord. and just not ask Him for anything. Just tell Him I love Him. And I don't know how many times I've told Him that. But you know what? He tells me every day that He loves me, but He only had to tell me once. And that was enough. But he goes on and tells me every day. How does He do that? Because I get to be the assistant pastor to you all. And I see you out in places and you never fail to give me a hug and say, hey, I appreciate you. And get a card from you. Or get a phone call and say, hey, we've been praying for you this week. That's how I know God loves me. That's how I know. As Jim McComas, he preached at our Thursday night camp meeting, how do I know God loves me? And the last thing he said was, because He's told me too many times. He's told me too many times. And I love Him. Do you love Him?